Conference call coming up here shortly. I just thought I'd let you hear a little bit of the Spencers before we start the call. And looking forward to this time of fellowship. We had a good Bible study last night with Robert Barrick. We did the second chapter of Matthew, telling of the birth of Christ. So anyway, we will be back here at the top of the hour, to do this call. The hour usually goes from 11 o'clock to around noon or there a little bit after. So we'll see you then.
Disagreement between the Orthodox Church, and the Roman Catholic Church, to say the least. But yeah, whenever I look at scripture, I believe very clearly that the signs and lying wonders spoken of are things like the stigmata, are things like the Marian apparition. And that's just my opinion, but I'm not alone in that, and I believe some of the reformers at least held the same opinion.
Yeah, I appreciate the fact you brought up this issue of the Orthodox Church, because, there are a lot of people in the Christian community, so-called, they call themselves Christian. We know that 90% of Christendom is worshiping another Jesus, but the mainline Christian community are applauding oftentimes the Orthodox Church, and I've even heard them applauding Putin because of his stance on morals and coming against homosexuality, which I'm glad that he's coming against homosexuality, but that doesn't make him,
this is transparent as corruption.
Well, I mean, the thing of it is, the reason the reason he's taking a stand against homosexuality is he knows that any one country in the history of anyone that starts practicing homosexuality or condones it, it's not long that country bites the dust. And that's why I think our country is headed on a downward slope. But that is apart from the reality of the grace of God. I agree with you, Carl, on your assessment of the Orthodox Church. And there's even a guy, you probably know who I'm talking about. He calls himself Russian Orthodox, and he's done a lot of broadcasts. He's on YouTube. Well, I don't think he's on YouTube anymore. I think they took him down, but he's on brand new tube. And he gets a lot of listenership. And, just to listen to him, he says a lot of good things. He has held on to a lot of the Roman sacramentalism and its works.
I can probably tell you a little bit more about the Orthodox Church, because back in a day, like maybe 30 years ago, I went a few times to the Orthodox Church, because my grandparents came from that tradition. And it's all about worshiping the saints. It's all about sacraments. It's all about priests with black robes.
Right.
Jesus talks about it. And don't you dare asking any questions then, because you're not meant to ask questions. You're meant to be and, practice the rituals. But don't ask questions about anything, And
what is their position, Dwar? What is their position on the on the Mass? Are they into transubstantiation as well? I don't know, you know.
I don't really know the depths of it, to tell you the truth. I know that they don't really worship Mary, and they
wow.
they do hate Catholics, and Catholics do hate them. So right. There is a big enmity between the two. So it's a big, big war there between the two. At least I know from a Serbian Orthodox perspective, not from a Russian. I don't know what Russian ones are. They're all different. But they do have their own patriarchs, which is their own version of the Pope, you know.
Right.
But they do worship saints. So every person has its own saint, you know, and it's allocated a saint at the birth.
That's basically necromancy. Necromancy. I mean, I remember Francis Mannion telling me in the middle of my case, and I'm going to get to Walt in a second, but, you know, he called me the day that they ruled in our favor, and he said, you know, of course, he's Roman Catholic, and he said, do you know how many thousands of people were praying their patron saints? That's why you won the case. You know, and I told him, I said, no, that's not why we won the case. I said, I don't believe in necromancy. And we had quite, you know, his patron saint was Francis of Assisi, you know. And I had a chance to witness him. Anyway, Walt, you have your hand up. Go ahead, man.
No volume, Walt.
Your mic's muted, Walt.
I wanted to ask anybody here if they know a little bit about the history. I mean, I think that the Russian Orthodox split from the Catholic Church.
Yes.
Does anybody else have any comment on that?
Yeah, there was a time in history when there, you know, of course, it's not the only time there were two popes. But, I mean, Dwar says, they've been having their own pope down through the years, and so
They split about 1,000 years ago, and you had the Eastern Roman Empire and Western Roman Empire. The east was Constantinople, that was the capital, so they retained the certain traditions which were before what Rome looks now. So if you say go back in time, Rome would have looked like the Orthodox Church right now, maybe more than 1,000 years ago. But Rome then evolved and, you know, different heresies, where the Eastern is just got its own heresies. They took lots of Babylonian traditions and the candles and saints and plus Russian Orthodox and you have Greek and Serbian. They all have different patriarchs, so they don't really talk to each other that much.
And back to what Carl was saying about, you know, signs and wonders, we even see that as early as 300. With Constantine, you know, where he supposedly saw the sign in the clouds and stuff. And that's when he took all of this paganism into the church. Of course, that, you know, that was totally
yes.
Babylonian, you know, I mean,
yeah.
Everything
yes.
associated with that.
And as well, which is why I tend to take a more spiritual view of the Mark of the Beast. And I'm not saying that, you know, what we're seeing with the COVID-19 passports and vaccines aren't a precursor to a literal mark that you can see with your eyes, but, you know, that's literally on someone. However, the more that I read the scriptures where this is concerned, since it's directly tied to the great whore and to the papacy, I tend to believe that there's a very spiritual aspect to what's being described to us in the book of Revelation. And there's, as far as the mark of the beast goes, and there are so many people right now that are making a lot of money off this fear pornography. I'll just mention someone like Stu Peters, for example. They're making all these people are selling the idea that this COVID jab is the mark of the beast and this and that, and that people can actually take it without knowing. And the mark of the beast in the Bible, no one takes it without knowing what they're doing. They are participating in worship. And so, yeah, there's just so much fear pornography going on where all this is concerned. This is why if you don't have a correct understanding of the book of Revelation and what it's describing and the papacy and Rome, you're going to be led astray. And the mark of the beast to me is directly tied with will worship, with synergism. and the strong delusion. And free willism, it comes from the Roman Catholic Church. So I tend to take a more, and I know it's sort of off topic, but I tend to take a more spiritual view of the mark.
Tom, you've had your hand up for some time, and then I'd like to respond to Carl's thoughts. We're in somewhat agreement, but not total. Go ahead, Tom.
So, just getting back to the Orthodox Church, Tori's brother, who was given for adoption and met later on, but he actually fluctuated between different churches. But the last that we were aware, and he's been back to this church several times, but he's a member of the Greek Orthodox Church. And one thing that appalled us was that they have a tradition of kissing the saints' pictures. And if I'm not mistaken, they have old bones that they kiss, and it's just appalling. But, I mean, to me, if you think about it, it is a perfect feel-good religion. And what I mean by that is that by nature, our work mentality, and they are usually into works by their traditions.
Good point. Welcome aboard, George. We're glad to see you're with us, George. Carl is from California, and he has done, well, he's got quite a knowledge of, even though he says he's not a historian, I say that he is, so anyway. But just to respond to Carl, you know, I've been torn on this subject, on the Mark of the Beast, especially, and I know you've done a lot of research on this too, but the big concern I have is, I think, is we have to identify what, when we say the beast, what we're talking about. There's a lot of definitions about the beast, and then when we start talking about the mark of the beast, I totally agree with you on the aspect that, in my understanding of Revelation, they're going to make an image to the beast, and they're going to require worship of the beast, okay? Now, the thing that I've struggled with is the aspect of the RNA changing of the DNA in the body with these jabs, and also the linkage between the graphite and the 5G and everything associated with artificial intelligence. And so it just throws up a huge, now I believe that it is, I believe that this is a precursor, I think it's okay to say it's a precursor to what the final system will look like. I don't know how this is going to, you know, right now it seems like there's been a little switch where they're backing off a little bit of some of these mandates, you know, like Boris Johnson in Europe now, he, you know, because it was so unpopular, they were going to throw him out on his ear. And all politicians are alike. Anytime they're threatened, yes, they take the opposite view. Go ahead, Walt. Your mic is muted, Walt.
Don't you think that the jab is worship too?
Yes, most certainly. I mean, and you know, Christ says that you cannot serve God and mammon. And if you're more worried about, you know, what you're going to eat than how Christ tells us to live in his word, then, yeah, I mean, you're certainly engaging in worship. And I would just like to commend the guys that are on, that are in here with us that have, by the grace of God, refused to partake in something that they believe is immoral and unchristian. I pray that God would give me the strength to do the same as you did if that time comes. I would just say that, and again, I don't, please guys, do not think that I'm sitting here thinking I know everything, because I don't. We're just talking.
Right.
And I tend to take a view that most of the reformers took, and I'm not saying that you guys here don't. But whenever I think of the image of the beast, I believe that has been revealed to us, and I think it's Mary. And we're told that this image is going to speak and come alive. And then when you talk about the Marian apparitions, I believe that's what we've seen. And so I just, you know, but, and again, I don't have all knowledge. I'm not claiming that I do or that I, you know, I'm just making conversation. So please don't think I'm sitting here thinking I know everything, because I don't.
No, we appreciate your viewpoint. And, there's two people that have their hands up right now, and I'm trying to figure out who I should call on first. I think Dewar, you've had your hand up the longest, and then we'll go back to Adeola.
Yeah, I am of the view that, like I said before, that the Lord marks his people on the forehead in the book of Revelation and Ezekiel. It's a spiritual mark. And to be a physical mark, it means that they can actually forcefully jab you, like in some countries they do, like in India. And which then implies that they can steal your soul, if that's a physical mark. So it means it wouldn't be really up to you. You'd be watching all the time. If someone doesn't grab your soul, because the wicked governments do. Where if it's a spiritual mark, look, it's a mark, number 666 is a mark of, it says, the word Greek word is anthropos. Anthropos, it says it's mark of a man, but anthropos also means humanity. But every person has a 666 already. You know, that's what, it's a failed humanity. And it says let a man to understand it. You know, like to understand what it actually means in the book of Revelation, chapter 13. So I've done also a lot of reading and research. I used to think it's a physical vacuum before, but the more reading I'm doing, I'm just more inclined towards the spiritual mark. I'm not saying the jab is not deadly. It is what it is. You know, it is a poison. It is designed to do what they plan to do. And yes, definitely, if you understand what you are up for, you should not be going to take it, because you are kind of issuing yourself a death sentence, you know, for whatever. But is it going to steal your soul? I really don't believe that, because how do you know it's a jab? How do you know it's not going to be a chip in 20 years' time or something else? There's always going to be something else, and that is full of these little rabbits that he pulls out. You know, so how do you know what is it if it's a physical? You know, and why are we in the generation that we are allowed to lose our souls, where everybody else in the last 2,000 years they couldn't? So it then implies a lot of things, saying that we are this particular generation chosen to constantly watch for this physical thing, you know, where we can lose our souls. Because that's what it implies. If you take it, you lose your soul, if it's physical. Where that's not what scripture teach. Scripture don't teach that. You cannot lose your soul. If you are one of these, you are saved. You are saved and you're done. You're sanctified, glorified. That's it.
Okay. Well, Adeola, go ahead. You're up. Go ahead.
With this whole mark of the beast, for me, it is a spiritual worship aspect too, because it's not something physical, but it's a mark of allegiance, but it's a choice we're making. Are we going to see or stand what man does or what God does? And the part that I believe is the fact that it also has to do with the pastors as well, too. A lot of these mainline Christian churches were basically selling out their own parishioners at the same time, because it's kind of odd that there are a lot of mainline Christian churches who are buying this. I'm not saying odd, but it's sure in line with scripture. If the pastors themselves, 501c3, are basically making destinies of their own parishioners. They're basically saying, I'm going to sell you down the road, basically. And so with this, it comes down to a real, real choice. God or man. And I'm also paying attention to this whole, with everything going on, there's a huge aspect of the environment as well. They're going to make a big push in the environment with this, because it's kind of odd that we're talking about COVID, and then all of a sudden there's climate change. Worship the environment. We should sit here and, oh my goodness, look what our industrial society has done to the earth and everything. Well, that's all part of the Satan's plan. Worship the creation versus creator. This is just what I'm noticing right now based on just in my own studies in the book of Revelation.
Well, you know, one of the things that we've got to, let's see. Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Oh, just with reference to the mark of the beast, another aspect possibly that I very well could fit in is just like when going through the book of John, when he's speaking to Nicodemus, you must be born again in order to see the kingdom of God. We know that seeing the kingdom of God is only by being born again. Those that are not his already have a mark. They have already marked and could not be mark of the beast just be an outward manifestation of that. So we're not technically losing. Nobody that has a soul is losing them. It's technically just a manifestation that their soul is already lost.
Yes, and we can see that the devil is most clearly a counterfeit. He's a creature created by God, therefore he's really not original at all. So he can't come up with his own ideas, really. He has counterfeited the spiritual mark, which is the seal of God in the forehead of his people, by coming up with this mark of the beast that is allegiance to Rome, which if you think about it, the great whore, Rome, is defined by synergism, its works. And so the mark itself is an allegiance to works and will worship and things of that nature, which is why the number six, the number of man, is part of it, I believe. And it's just a picture, a spiritual picture of the condition of someone who believes that they're working in cooperation with a deity to bring about their own salvation.
Well, I would say this, and I kind of have a little bit different view because I kind of agree with Adeola and probably Wald a little bit more in that I see again, I use the word mainstream Christianity as being the whore church. Okay, in other words, the ecumenical church in Rome is the whore, okay? And so when we see these people like, for an example, Franklin Graham, who has tremendous influence, I believe he's demon-possessed, I believe he's devil-possessed, when he gets in mainstream media and he says that he endorses this poison, widespread, and that he makes these outlandish statements that Jesus Christ would have taken a vaccine, and here Jesus Christ walked with the lepers and cleansed the lepers, and you know, and so on. And not only just Franklin Graham, but hundreds of mainstream pastors like First Baptist Church of Dallas, Jeffers, endorsing this poison right in his church. And, you know, this could also be a part of the deception, of the delusion. I believe it could be part of the delusion. I believe that the greatest delusion is the free will aspect of it. I agree with you, Carl, that, in other words, according to Revelation, the only ones that are not going to receive the mark of the beast are those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. Okay? Everybody else is going to receive it. The only ones that aren't going to receive it are those who are God's elect, you know, and those who have been blood-bought, and those but I've had Reformed people tell me, and it really concerns me. I'm not going to mention names, but I mean, I'm talking about pastors, okay, in the Reform movement tell me they would have no problem at all taking a chip, okay, have no problem at all taking the chip. It has nothing to do with the mark of the beast, they say. And I've also had a number of people in that say they're Christians, that they have no problem taking the vaccine. They have no problem with the fact that it changes their DNA. They have no, and they know the RNA significance of it. They know how it's going to change and how it's tied to artificial intelligence. So, you know, that's my thoughts on it. I'm not saying it's not spiritual. It is spiritual. But I'm going to say this. This mark of this vaccine and everything that goes with it, including the pandemic and everything, is of the devil. It's satanic. It's evil. Okay, I'm going to shut up and go ahead and give it over to.
And I'll just say this right quick, and then I'll shut up.
No, that's
this right. This is all directly tied to heliocentricity, the idea that we're on a spinning wet ball rocket going through a demonic wire, right? So viruses and our false understanding of them and where they come from is directly tied to human evolution, which is directly tied to heliocentricity. And without heliocentricity, there is no human evolution, and there is no virus, this contagion running around killing people out there. It's all one big lie, like most of the things that we've all been indoctrinated into in the state schools. Schools are not for learning, they're for indoctrination.
Let me ask you a question, Carl. I'm just curious. Do you think that this so-called vaccine, do you think it's killing thousands of people?
Yes.
I do. I believe
absolutely.
I think it's part of the depopulation program. Now, Dwar's got his, I think I said his name right. I'm still getting it down. Go ahead, Dwar.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that all these preachers and that are saying that we should be taking our jet and microchip or whatever, it all comes to the worship of the government and science as a religion. I mean, if you look at it, worshiping of government goes back to Rome. So Rome controls all the governments. So if you, and most of the people these days, the government is their god, you know, and science is their religion. Even though they claim to be Christian, they trust science. They don't trust God to be healed. They don't trust God about anything. You know, it's just that God is just this religion that they follow, you know, that they think to follow traditions of men. Mm-hmm. And also coming to the jab, to vaccines, if, like I said, if it's a physical, what stops them coming through your door and forcefully jabbing you and modifying your DNA? And if that's the reason that you're going to go, you know, to damnation because of it, I mean, how can you prevent that? You can't prevent that.
Oh, I mean,
if they just so strong through your doors, they could do it if they wanted to. You know, you can't stop
that. I totally agree with what you're saying there. In other words, it's like, and Walt's got his hand up, but, you know, it's like Walt says, I'm a 77-year-old guy. If five people come to my door and they force the jab on me, I'm going to give them a fight, but I have a feeling they're going to win. You know, I mean, so, you know, I mean, but here's, anyway, Walt, I'll flip it over to you because you got your hand up. Your mic's muted, Walt.
First of all, I'm enjoying this the different comments because see that's one way of mind control is separation. They've separated this, and praise God, it's a gift of God that we're all sitting here talking and sharing this, you know. But what I notice big time is when I go to the marketplace or when I go to the bank, this pandemic has separated us. And the same thoughts have come to my head too, what Carl said. I mean, you have the global warming and heliocentric. And every time I go down to the beach now and I look out at that ocean, you know, to think that they've been able to promote this, you know, I remember I used to deliver newspapers. I remember when they landed on the moon, you know, and to go back now and defeat, you know something? I have to admit, though, I didn't oppose it. I didn't oppose it. And I wasn't into the Bible a lot at the time, but I said, this isn't Bible. That thought came to my mind. This isn't Bible. You know, but anyway,
Well, the classic Carl Roberts quote is, you can't land on a light. Okay. And I've used that over and over. I mean, you know, I love that, Carl. The Holy Spirit gave that to you. That's all I can say. You can't land on a light. And you know what? All I heard in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade was the craters and the rivers running on the moon and all this stuff. And every time... Go ahead.
Excuse me. But you know, this, of course, you know who Carol is, Larry. But this is a Christian couple that live across town. Now Carol has never met Carl. You know, he never met Carl, but I heard that from Carol. I've actually heard that come out of Carol's mouth, you know, and so when Carl said it, when Carl says it, it goes, wow, Carl's never met Carol. And you know, she wrote an article, Carol, years before that the flat earth came onto the internet and everything. I mean, this was 5 or 6 years. Carol was preaching flat earth to me. And she would say, and she's just about 5'2", and she just got a lot of energy. And she'd look at me and she'd say, well, I know you don't believe me. And this is years ago. And I'd say, well, Carol, I've got to listen. I've got to listen, you know. It's been a remarkable journey, because I can see the hand of God. Matter of fact, up on my webpage, the number 2 button is called the creation. Now, she had a, when I booked, stayed by me for dinner, and she had these, all this stuff written down on notes, see, and I said, well, let's type it into the computer and I'll put it up on the internet. And so I did. So that's her. She wrote, and one thing I wanted to say, her only source for a flat earth, her only source was the Bible. And all those scriptures in that article was from her reading the Bible.
George, you haven't had a chance to say anything today. Everybody's been pretty busy. George, we'd be interested in getting your take on kind of what we've talked about. If your mic is muted, do you want to come on board, George, and make some comments?
I don't see him on my side.
Yeah, I see him there. But you know, maybe he's away from the mic right now. You know, the old saying.
I really appreciate everybody's comments.
Yeah, George, I saw you unmuted your mic momentarily. Go ahead. Okay. Well, if I'll watch you, and if you come available, I'll make sure that you have a chance to speak. So on this aspect of Peter, you know, talking about the end is at hand, oftentimes I can't tell, George, if you're unmuted or not.
Well, I am for the moment. Hello, okay. Larry. Hello, Walt. Hello, Adiola. Hello, Carl. Yeah. Hello, Tom. And I understand there's something like 30 people on this call, so if I don't mention your name, it's simply because I can't see everybody. Well, to respond, well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever it is you may be. Thank you for having me on again. Okay, just to respond, what was listening to you, Walt, talking about Flat Earth, I decided to do a YouTube search on Flat Earth because it's been years since I've done that. And admittedly, right underneath the video, it had a link to Wikipedia. It says, the archaic and disproven pseudoscientific view of the Earth. So they'll do that pretty much for anything. There are certain topics that you cannot touch. It's the third rail. Before the whole corona hoax nonsense, there was school shooting, but that's another topic altogether. Well, you had to wonder, you know, something I've wondered for a long time, who runs the world? And as a corollary, who happens to run the United States, which is where I live? Well, and that's a whole other conversation altogether. And if you listen to people like Alex Jones, assuming that's his real name, they'll say, well, it's the quote, it's the quote, globalist, close quote, or it's the elite, the ruling elite, it's the Illuminati, it's the Bilderberger, you know, Phil, it's the banksters. And he's partially correct, but who actually runs those entities? I mean, Joseph Ratzinger was a Roman Catholic who was trained by the Jesuits. He found the Bilderbergers back in, was it 1953, 54? Yes, the Jesuits run all the banks. They run Chase Bank, they run Bank of America, they run Wells Fargo, they run the Bank of England, they run the Bank of Canada. Doesn't matter where you live. Now, if I can just mention some things on the local level, as Larry said, I live in California, roughly an hour or so north of San Francisco. The county in which I live is called Sonoma. I mentioned that before. It has a population of roughly 500,000 people. And about a month or so ago, I was talking about who founded the adjacent town from where I live in Kentucky, but the adjacent town is Roanoke Park, R-O-H-N-E-R-T. Roanoke Park was founded in 1962 by a fellow by the name of Morris Fredericks. Fredericks lived from 1925 to 2018. Fredericks was a devout lifelong Roman Catholic. He went to a Catholic high school just south of here, and he got his undergrad law degree from the University of Santa Clara. Just to give you a, now I mentioned that about a month ago. Well, as I said, I live in California, and California is divided into 58 counties. And each county has a board of supervisors, which has 5 members. And there are other entities within each county. They have the health departments, they have the Office of Legal Counsel, they have county administrators. Okay, just talking about two positions. Our chief legal counsel is a fellow by the name of Robert Pittman. He got his law degree from Loyola Marymount, Los Angeles. And for good measure, he's a homosexual. He lives with his partner and has a couple of adopted children. The assistant legal counsel for Sonoma County is a lady by the name of Cheryl Bracton. She, too, is a lesbian, lives with her partner, and has a couple of adopted children. Now, wait for it. Here's the punchline. She got her law degree from the University of San Francisco. But Ms. Brass not only is the assistant legal counsel for the county, she's also the county administrator, so she has 2 positions. So what is the probability that you have people who have 2 of the most important positions in the county are Jesuitically trained?
Well, I think your question, you know, I think we already have the answer to that. And, you know, this is kind of why, you know, Walt has been accused of spending all of his time being a Pope buster, you know. And he called me yesterday. Walt called me yesterday. I think it was yesterday. And by the way, we had a real good time of fellowship with Carl the other day. We really enjoyed that time together. And, you know, and Carl made the statement that, you know, that it's pretty evident that the Roman Catholic Church and the Zionists are in cahoots. I mean, they're working together. It's like a cabal, you know. But anyway, when Walt called me, he said, Larry, I just want you to know I'm still a Pope Buster. Okay, he says, I'm still a Pope Buster. But George, the question that I have for you is this. Because Carl made a really good point on the fellowship call. And I would rather him say it than me. So what he was intimating is that you have on one side people coming against the Zionists, on the other side you have people coming against the Roman Catholics, and oftentimes they never will meet in the middle and recognize how they're both working together. How did you actually say that, Carl?
Okay, well, in the same way that you have people proclaiming that it's all of the left, it's all of the Democrats.
Right.
People say, no, it's the Republicans, right?
Right.
They do the same thing with the Jews and the Jesuits. You have one group of people saying it's all the Jews.
That's right.
And the other group of people saying it's all the Jesuits or wrong. And I think those people are either one of two things. Either they're ignorant or they're being deceitful, because as we know, Rome and the Jews made friends in the time of Herod and Pilate. The Bible said that they struck hands and became friends.
That's right.
And I believe since that time, where the Jews manipulated the Roman government, who was an occupying force with their military, and the Jews manipulated them to kill Christ. Now, we all know this was by the divine purpose of God Almighty. It was for his foreknowledge, his purpose that this happened, but we still see the Jews and Rome working together, and I believe that's what's happening today, and that it's been going on, and that the people that tell you it's either one or the other, you really need to watch.
Yeah, George, what are your thoughts about what Carl just said? In other words, the seeming alliance between Zionism and Catholicism.
Well, I mean, then you had the whole term concept of people use slightly different nomenclature, papal court puppet Jew, Pope fusion, Pope serving Jews, and you have had a number of Jewish people who had no qualms working for the Vatican. For example, the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her husband, Martin, was a professor at Georgetown University. Case in point. The director, Mel Brooks, his wife, or one of his wives, was Anne Bancroft, an Italian Roman Catholic. The examples were almost endless. How many Jews, prominent Jews, past and present, were nice. The Malta, Dame of Malta, taught at Catholic institutions, received honorary degrees, things like that. However, it's always the Jews who are subordinates to the Jesuits and the Catholic Church. Case in point, Taylor Herzl, I believe his dates were, 1840 to 1904, he was considered to be the father of Judaism. He got his degree from Universität Wien, the University of Vienna, which is historically a Jesuit school. As a matter of fact, just prior to Herzl's death, he had an audience with the Pope was in 1904, just like maybe 6 months before his death. Was it Benedict the 10th? I had to go check that. So all the prime ministers of Israel, Golda Meir, David Ben-Gurion, Benjamin Netanyahu, all of them have had audiences with the Pope of his time. And so they're always, the leadership of Israel is not working for the benefit of the citizens. They're always working for the benefit of the Vatican.
Good point. Well, we've got two hands up. Walt, go ahead, and then Dwar. to Juan. Who, you know what, Juan, I know that it's not just me that jumbles your name. I know you have to put up with this all the time. Go ahead, Walt.
Well, you know, when I bring up the name Ed Henry, I don't bring it up for controversy, because I've always said through all of this, Ed Henry has taught me an awful lot, you know, but there is a connection. I mean, you cannot leave out the Zionism, but of course I believe that Zionism is an ideology, and the ideology was created by the Jesuits. And like Ed Henry, and Ed Henry's got a book here, you know, he definitely, the Antichrist, this book right here, he definitely pins the tail on the donkey, and the beast is Rome. And the Antichrist, you know, is you can't. But it's amazing how, and I remember he switched. That was his first book he put together, and then he wrote one more, Mystery Babylon, Uncovered, you know, and in this book he brings up the point of the Jesuits are crypto Jews, and of course myself, I'm like Carl, the Jesuits are crypto Jews. I think it can be reversed. See, they're all one. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter because they're all one. They're all working together. It's a cabal.
Duan, go ahead, and then we've got Adeola, and then I wanted to welcome aboard John. And John, can you let us know if you're the John from Canada or the John from,
it's from Canada.
That's what I thought. Okay. Go ahead, Duan.
Yeah, I was just wondering, I have a question. We know that the fourth beast, there's only four beasts, and the fourth beast is Rome, which is Vatican right now, morphed, you know, with many heads. Where does the New Age fit into this picture? I read some letters from Albert Pike where he talks about three world wars, you know, and destruction of Zionism at the end, destruction of Christianity. And I know that they've been pushing this New Age for the last 100 years or something. And I know that Jesuits probably control that as well. You know, does anybody have any opinion on that?
Well, that's a loaded question. Okay. I mean, you know, you hear all of this vernacular about the United Nations, and now you see what's going on right over there right now on the Ukraine border and the nations that are involved in bringing all of that, those thousands and thousands of troops on that border, including Russia and NATO. And I think if you look at NATO and that group of nations, it has biblical proportions, but I don't want to get into all of that. But your question is, you know, I don't know the answer. To be honest with you, I do not know the answer. All I know is this, is that when they talk about in Revelation where John is talking about all these nations coming together, I guess I'm somewhat simplistic. How it all manifests itself is not as important to me as the fact that of the reality that it's, you know, I believe. Now I'll probably get criticized for this, but I think I'll say it the way Walt says it. What is going on now has biblical proportions. Okay, that's all I can say, because when you look at And I know I'll be accused of being a futurist and everything else, which that's fine. I've been accused of a lot of things. But if you look at the economic system throughout the world, and I mean, Trump even said this in his first time of presidency. He said, I don't know what they're going to do, but they're going to do something. He was talking about changing the currency. The plan is, everybody knows this, the plan is to make everything digital. Okay, and they want total control over all of your life, including your bank account. Why does my bank send me emails asking me if I've been fully vaccinated? What business is it of my bank to ask me if I'm COVID-19 protected? Okay. Adeola, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Pierre Teilhard Desjardins, who was based out of San Francisco, he started the hippie movement in the 1960s. So if you want to find out who started the 1960s hippie movement, it was him, the Jesuit priest. The book called The Aquarian Conspiracy. He named him verbatim at the forefront of this. And I'll say this again. Each and every one of you, download the book, History of the Jesuits by Nicolini. You can download it for yourself. I swear, download the book and read yourself. It'll virtually tell you how nefarious this group is. That is the single biggest source that I know is a thick read, but I'll tell you, once one reads that book and then flips it with, what's his name there, Albert Manhattan, it will leave you no question that the Jesuits are literally behind everything. Secondly, it was Napoleon, under control of the Jesuit order, who prophesied this so-called the Jews returning to Israel. Not really knowing that the Israelites that you see today were not the same thing as one in at the time of Jesus Christ. They were descendants of the Khazarian Empire in Europe, which were converted Jews who basically were converted to the Babylonian Talmud. Because at the time of Jesus Christ, the Jews at this time were of the Babylonian Talmud. Like the Star of David that you see in Israel, that was a Babylonian symbol that he took back from Israel. Back to Israel when the two tribes returned from Babylon. So what you see today compared to what Jesus Christ is, two different things, and you have to understand the Jesuits, who they are. And History of the Jesuits by Nicolini. I'll tell this to anybody, read that book. Once you get it, you can't see them the same way again.
Yeah, I can certainly validate what Adiel is saying, because I did download a copy of Nicolini's book at the suggestion of Adiola, and it blew me away. I'll just say that. One of the other things,
I have a question.
Okay, go ahead.
Quickly. All right. If it is the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits in sole control, and these Jews are just papal serving Jews, then how come it is perfectly okay to criticize the Roman Catholic Church and the Jesuits all day long? I mean, Johnny Cerusi has made a career out of it. But the minute that you criticize Israel, you're going to be silenced. You're going to be shut up. You're not allowed to talk about them at all. The UN is now considering passing laws, all right, to all nations that are a part of the UN to make it illegal to question the Holocaust. You know, and there's so much there's been said in the last 15 minutes, but I can't possibly touch on all of it. So I would just say this and then shut up. It's all about the financial system. all right, and who's behind the financial system and who's running it. There was one man in history that stood up to these people, and he kicked them out of his country. And he has been demonized to such a level that even to speak his name or to be sympathetic to him or his people in any way, you will be labeled an anti-Semite, you will be called a racist, and you will be looked at like you have horns growing out of your head. Like
I gotta interrupt here and just remind everybody, okay, that this is being recorded. Okay, this broadcast is being recorded, and I really don't want to get into a conversation about Ernst Sundale on this today on this broadcast, because I'd like to be able to keep the platform going for a little while. Now you're absolutely right, Carl. I mean, you bring up an excellent point, and there's three people that have their hands up, and I'm going to just shift gears just momentarily so we can take a little bit of a, you know, because, you know, this is a very emotional subject. You know, I mean, I agree with you. All last week, Carl, I heard it all week long on all the evangelical Christian stations and how anti-Semitism was rising. By the way, it's the evangelical churches that are feeding into this. Okay, now, I just also want Carl to know before we move on that you may already know this, but John, I can never say his last name. We've got these name problems, issues. John Avizito from Canada also has now been given a letter. I'm not going to go into his personal life, but he is also losing his job because he won't take the jab. So we've got three people on this show right now. It's not a show, but...
Me too.
Also Mike Orr also was told to leave the hospital because of his job. And Mike, just speak to that just briefly, and then we're going to get back to the on track on this subject, okay? I'm not ignoring you, Carl. I just want you to know that you're already off of YouTube. Okay, and I'm not putting this on YouTube, I guarantee you. And there's some, you know, there are other programs that platforms that do, you know, and I know that Walt wants to answer your question as well. But go ahead, Mike, just share briefly with Carl what happened to you.
Well, they gave us the option to file a religious or a medical exemption, and the medical exemption was like, I mean, they pretty much said the reasons we're not going to accept the medical, you know, exemption, and I mean, there's no way you could get a medical exemption, but me and a few other Christian people at my hospital filed the religious and did get the religious exemption. I was given that exemption, but the problem I personally had was the Lord was showing me verses like Ephesians 5:11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And, I mean, Exodus 23:1-2, thou shalt not raise a false report, put thine hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness. And I mean, time and time again. I don't believe that anything I get shown, like if I'm doing research on the internet, is by accident. And like I saw all this stuff, they said I got the PCR test weekly, and I saw PCR testing as a problem because it's they're not accurate.
That's right.
They use that to manipulate the statistics. So I wrote a very thought-provoking letter to my employers and told them why I cannot take the PCR test, and, you know, I encourage them to turn to Scripture, Jesus Christ, you know, and here I sit unemployed.
Walt, you've had your hand up. You've been waiting patiently in the corner for a long time. I know you want to respond to Carl, so go ahead.
Well, you know, I don't, you know, we are supposed to expose the truth, and the point that Carl brought up is so true. You cannot, and it's you know, it's really surprising to me that I think there's eight of us in here, and that this was brought up and nobody left.
Actually, there's nine right now. But go ahead.
There's nine of us. And in other words, you cannot touch this subject. And Ernst Zundel, it's a remarkable story. It's a remarkable. I mean, you can talk about anything.
Thanks,
else
Walt. Thanks for following my admonition.
Well, we're not going to go into it. I mean, I'm not going to talk about Ernst Zundel because I know his bio. I know his whole bio. And it's remarkable. You say, was he an elect child of God? I don't know that, but I'll tell you, God give him the strength. And sometimes Carl's a younger man, and he's got more steam than Walt Stickles got. and the fact that Carl and I have never talked about Ernst Zundel, but once it's exposed to you, and where does this come from? Where does this come from? This is a hand of God.
Well, let me.
We're not going to change nothing, though. We're not going to change nothing.
Let me ask you a question, Walt. I don't understand. Now, this is my answer to Carl in your question about why is it that, you know, that Rome can get beat up and they won't do anything or retaliate or whatever. That hasn't been totally my experience, because I have been on Sermon Audio for 16 years, and I can tell you that if you go on Sermon Audio, you'll find that there's not a lot of people speaking against Rome. Not a whole lot. Out of the 5,000 broadcasters on there, there may be 25 that are actively speaking against Rome. Now, it is true that I'm also actively speaking against Zionism as well, but my question is this. Why is it that Rome gets shielded all the time? Why is it that like Walt on his website, granddesignexposed.com, Walt is the only one that talks about the fact that there's 7 out of 9 Supreme Court judges that are Catholic. He's the only one that brings up that there's all these Jesuit institutions. He's the only one that brings up the fact that, the Pope can go to the Congress and get, accolades,
standing ovations,
and so on. And so, I don't really know the answer. I think that it's just amazing that Rome has gotten a free pass all of these years. They've gotten a free pass. Anybody brings up the Inquisition, it's just like, people like Copeland and the mainstream, they'll say there's no protest. The protest is over. Why has all the ecumenical churches basically endorsed Roman Catholicism as Christian? That's just my questions,
Yeah, and I think the answer I think part of the answer to that is synergism, right? Men love to do something, and these will worship the so-called Christians, they have more in common with the Great Whore than what they do with actual Bible-based Christianity.
Dewan's got his hand back up. Go ahead, Dewan.
Yeah, there's all these evangelical churches. There's a lot of them, and there's a lot of members in them, thousands and thousands, like including Hades, for example. They say that Jews don't need to believe in Jesus. And these people, they send a lot of money down there in that country. And there are really, I'd say they are the majority of the so-called Christians in this country. If something was to happen to that country over there, and, you know, like that Fights letter talks about, I believe that all these evangelical churches, they're going to lose all their hope, and they're going to put to become New Agers. And through becoming a New Agers, they're going to be followers of Babylonian religion, which is, again, wrong. At least that's the feeling I'm getting. At least that's why we are not allowed to talk against it, because it's a part of the many bigger picture.
Well, I agree with you. And, you know, for years and years and years, even the church that my mom attended, they were totally Zionist. You know, they, you know, God's chosen people, you know, across the board, you know, and it was sickening. Walt, go ahead. Walt, your mic is muted and your hand is up.
Okay. You know, I have a senior moment. I have a hard time turning that button off and on. Anyway, but it's a very good question, because Carl brings up there. You know, I can't think of a more sensitive issue than to mention the Holocaust. That I have friends that are patriots, I have a friend that I was traveling across the United States when I stayed at his house, and I mentioned the issue. Just, I don't know how I even mentioned it, but man, the world is so invested in that Holocaust.
Yes.
You know, it's a question that is very interesting, because, you know, if I had an answer, I would say it's this. You see, Zionism is an ideology, and this is where I really disagreed with Ed Henry. And I, you know, when the last time I talked to Ed, we didn't hang up on each other. We had a very civil conversation. But it's an ideology. It's not a religion. You know, it's like having a band of gangsters, you know, and they're going to rob a bank. Which one is really the controlling factor? They're all involved. They're all involved. See?
Well, I wanted to ask you, because what is your distinction? What is your distinction between ideology and religion? And the only reason I ask that question is because I know for a fact that these churches that Carl is referring to and that Duan is referring to that have promoted the Zionist motif, and, you know, especially people like John Hagee and these people. I heard Tim Wildman, who's the president of American Family Radio, make this statement this last week on his program, and he has 180 some stations that he was broadcasting on at the time. And he said, here's what he said. He said, anti-Semitism is from the devil. And he said, anti-Semitism, and those who speak against God's chosen people are listening to Satan. If that isn't a religion, what is it? I'm trying to separate ideology from religion. Most of religion is from the devil, right? So help me with
right.
this. Help me with this.
Right. And there's just so much to say here. So Brother Wall was talking a while ago about the Second World War. And it's hard for those of us it's hard for people in the United States to admit, mainly because of ignorance, and because we've had family, you know, I had a grandfather that fought, you know, in the Second World War. It's hard for us to admit, like General Patton did, that we defeated the wrong enemy, that we were actually on the wrong side, because that attack upon Europe was an attack upon Western civilization, which is founded upon Christianity, which came from the Reformation. That's the way it was. And when you talk about those that we do not speak of, it's not just about Zionism. It's also about globalism or Bolsheviks, right? And that's what you really see on the right versus the left. You have these globalists, which are Marxists, which comes from those that you do not speak of, these Bolsheviks, right? And then you have them contrasted with these MAGA people who are evangelical Zionists. Yeah. And that's really what we're dealing with.
Well, yeah, and also, you know, Walt, I'm gonna give it back to you here in a minute, but Walt would be the first to tell you that the American Revolution was counter-reformation. I mean, in other words, I separate out between the 13 colonies and what happened during the America. That's another subject, and you know our thoughts on that. But I'm gonna flip it back to, well, I guess he put his hand down and Adeola put his up. So go ahead, Adeola.
Carl, I'm not disagreeing what you're saying. Well, one has to go back a step further and understand the role. We're all familiar with what happened in the Reformation and what happened in the 1600s afterwards to totally break up Germany at the same time. We've got to understand that had a huge role in propagating the supposed return of Jews to Jerusalem at the exact time. Also, a book called Facts Are Facts by Benjamin H. Freeman talks about the Khazars and the Israelites, the current state of Israel is at the sinister at the exact same time. That also has to be discussed, as well as the entire First World War has to be was an attack on Germany, and the Treaty of Versailles was to bankrupt Germany. The Second World War was to simply exact revenge on Germany again, to break it down further, and to go against every country that went against the Jesuits and kick them out, the 80 countries. That kicked them out. So every time I hear this, one has to understand the role of Napoleon in this, personally, which is totally contradictory to God's word. God never authorized building the third temple to begin with. Period. And with this, I grew up here in Canada. I heard about, in passing, Erno Sundel, Walt, he brought it to my attention. The moment I started reading this, I watched his case. The news coverage at that time. And the first two questions I asked is, I may not agree with everything. The first two things I asked myself, why does a guy need to go and wear a bulletproof vest to go to court? It was a free speech issue, and this was 3 years after our Charter of Rights were enshrined, signifying free speech. And he had a right to his opinion. Number two, we live in a supposed free democratic society, and his house in downtown Toronto was being bombed. And I'm saying, these are the two questions in my head. If a guy has an opinion and he just forwarded a master's thesis from a guy in Europe and put it in his book and he's classified as hate speech and he just republished it, it wasn't his opinion. What is about it? What is about this guy and this whole issue about Zionism era? And thirdly, one has to read the book The Myth of German Villainy. I got off of Walt's website, downloaded the book, and I actually read it. And I said, I couldn't believe me. I put it this way. I have never seen a group of individuals, the German people, that is a classic case of a group of people being screwed over in every which way, even bent over. I am blown away. If there are any other group of people, I don't care if it's black, I don't care if it's Indian, Chinese, Korean, Philippines, if that were done in any other group, media were defending them. But yet with the German people, and all he did was print a reclamation or something.
I want to jump in here and just let everybody know that we've been going 75 minutes and 45 seconds. And this was originally slotted for 1 hour. We've covered a lot of ground today. We're not going to get all of it done in one. By the way, it's been a very, very productive conversation, somewhat scary to me. I'm not afraid of what we're talking about, but I would like to take people incrementally into this subject. I don't want to, you know, what's the old saying? You know, if you're going to throw a snowball at somebody, don't make the first one go right in their face. Okay. We're going to cover this subject on the Holocaust. I guarantee you. And we're going to go through it. I'm going to kind of let Walt have the last word today. And again, I want to thank each one of you for joining us. Carl, I know I appreciate you coming on board. And then I appreciate John. John, you really didn't have a chance to say a whole lot. Can you give us, John, you can make it generic. Can you just give us an update on your situation? Are you currently having to leave your job, or is it still in the process?
Well, as of yesterday, I was put on leave without pay.
Okay.
Okay.
And
so I could be an employee for a while.
Right. I understand. So, what's going on in your mind? I mean, let me ask you a question. What is the current rules if a person wants to leave Canada and come to the United States?
That's what I intend to find out tomorrow.
Okay. All right.
I'm in the same process myself. Give it a few years and just go through it.
Right. First. Okay. Well, anyway, I want to thank John. I want to thank George. I want to thank Mike. I want to thank Tom. Tom will be on with me tonight. We're doing a Bible study in Ephesians. We'll be on at 8:00. It's not a live Bible study. We record it and put it on the platform.
Hello, Larry.
It's just a what? Oh yeah, it's in the Gospel of John. Rosette's over there correcting me. Okay. I've got too much going on. And Dewan's working with me on Tuesday night. Is it Tuesday night or Thursday night? Dewan?
It's Tuesday night.
Tuesday night, we'll do Ephesians, and then Robert Barrick is doing one with me in Matthew on Saturday nights, and I want to thank both Tom and Dewan for that. And then Carl will be on tomorrow, and then we've got a Wednesday night fellowship call, as you all know. And I want to thank Adiola, and Walt's got his hand up.
Hey, don't forget we'll meet Larry on Tuesday.
Adiola has been doing the integration of, he just finished one on the integration of secular education with Babylonian paganism. And it's interesting. What is your question going to be, Adiola, again, on your next program?
Is
Marxism, isn't it the origin of Marxism, or how did Marxism?
Where does communism come from?
That should be a really interesting program. Okay, go ahead, Walt.
Well, I think this has been a very provocative, I mean, profound, some of the things that are being said, but I want to say, you know, there's only about 8 of us on this call, and when you touch some of these subjects, it's very, I mean, my friend said this years ago when I first met him, there's never been a country that's had more psychological warfare put on it than this one here. And so, you know, I mean, you're talking, I mean, so when we talk about the real truth of World War II, I mean, it also brings out the founding of this country. World War II was run from Georgetown University and Edmund Walsh. You know, it brings up another word, got a necklace or something. But anyway, I want to thank everybody for conferring their emotions, you know, because I mean, you can lose a lot of friends real quick by just mentioning the Holocaust. All you got to do is mention it, and people get it's amazing what's been done to the spiritual minds of the world. I mean, and only a child of God can listen to both sides of the story. I mean, you know, I mean, so I don't have any further comments on it because it answers a lot of questions of what's going on today, you know. I mean, anyway, Carl, I'm going to let you kind of finish this off a little bit. You know what I said. I mean, in other words, it's amazing how people react so quickly to this subject. And, you know.
Yes, it's very divisive, and it's a very polarizing topic, without a doubt. And I'll just, for some reason, I'm hearing echo. I wanted to just say hello to John. It's been a while since I've had the pleasure of listening to him speak. I know he hasn't really had a whole lot to say because we've been sort of dominating the conversation. But John up there in Canada, I can remember when I first began to fellowship with Brother Larry and Brother Walt that John was in one of those first fellowships. So it's always good to hear from him. And I'll just bring it back to where Brother Larry began. But instead of being in 1 Peter, I'll go to 2 Peter. And we're told that in verse 8, chapter 3, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We know that the usward here are God's elect, but I wanted to just say quickly that it's easy to get frustrated looking for the day of Christ's return with everything going on. But like Peter teaches us here, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. So we know that all of God's people are going to believe before he returns. And let's just take comfort in the fact that he has worked out all things and his return is imminent. Without that.
Okay. We've got Walt. Go ahead, Walt.
I fellow up in the left. I'm blank on your name now.
Well, you know. Anyway, listen. It's you know. I really enjoyed this, and I'd like to. It's nice to get you know, people's comments, you know. I mean, because we're living in a time where it's called the divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. And some of the subjects we talked about today cannot be taught in a public forum. It'll never be allowed. And we're not going to change it, and Carl or myself or anybody in here, we're not trying to change the world. God's still sovereign. God's in control. I mean, God has shown his people, you know, for a clear mind. Because right now, the world's insane. I mean, you go into the public market right now, people are not people do not have a sound mind with it. The whole, some of these masks now cover almost their whole face except their eyeballs. And it kind of runs me, it's kind of sad. Just because somebody wears a mask, I'm not hateful towards them. But anyway, Larry, you close it off.
Well, I think all that's needed to be said has been said. So you all have a great afternoon, and look forward to continuing this dialogue at a future time. Have a good afternoon, everybody, and God bless.
God bless.